You know, what a great thing, right? For our soul, from our very depth of who we are in Christ, from the new life to have in Christ, to worship the Lord from our soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. What a great thing to think about this morning. Can't get my thing to clip. I'll work on it here a second. I'll stick it in the back pocket. So good morning. We are in an incredible study in the book of Thessalonians. We are in chapter 2. Go ahead and open up your Bibles there to chapter 2 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Go ahead and grab your outline, and I'll get this thing clipped. There we go. As you find your place there, I want to just say a few things to you. Finding your place, 1 Thessalonians. And then I'm going to kind of have you. Let me just say a few things. Through our study that we've been studying here, we've been encouraged, or maybe, if you think about it, maybe even challenged by God's word as those who have been entrusted with the true gospel, to have a boldness in our God to speak the true gospel of repentance and faith. Do you think we've been challenged through God's word, maybe encouraged in a way for that to be in our lives? Amen? No? Here? Good morning. Right? You remember what we talked about last week? Do you remember what we talked about the week before? Do you know what God's word is saying? Do you know what it's saying to our lives? Do you receive it into your life? Do you act upon what's going on with what God has to say? It's called God discipling us, and we're going to dig into that today. But in our study, what God has been telling us is you have been entrusted with the gospel to have boldness in your God to speak the true gospel of repentance and faith amid much opposition that you face, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of him as God works in your life, in your heart and mind, so that you do it without the motive of pleasing your own self or pleasing people, but you do it with the motive of pleasing God, always seeking for people to see the value, the character, the nature, the glory of God, not you, for it's by his power in which God pierced your heart with the truth of Christ, giving us a full conviction to repent of sin, to go a totally different opposite direction of where we are going, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, surrendering our lives to him, then receiving from him this new life that we have in Christ, so that we can be a testimony to the people seeing and recognizing the glory of God, for we have none. There you go. There's a recap of 2 weeks' teaching. That's what God's been telling us. This is his word to us. God speaking into our lives. This isn't just, oh, we learned this. This is a cute thing. This is a nice thing. This is something good. Oh, look what God does for me. We've studied this for 2 weeks with the focus on the foundations to evangelism. And we should be recognizing how relevant and important it is to our daily life in us honoring our walk with the Lord. And here's the question. Have you been encouraged and challenged to respond, to share the gospel that God has entrusted with you? Have you been encouraged to do that? Have you acted upon that? Has somebody from your lips heard about Jesus Christ? It's a yes or no answer. We weren't talking about, well, I was nice and I did something for somebody. That's sharing Christ. No, it's not. It's the word of God. It's the truth. If you don't repent of your sin and believe and trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to pay the penalty of your sin. And the wages of sin is death, eternal damnation. And God doesn't want that for you. Christ came and lived and died and rose again so he could provide the way for you to receive and believe in Christ and be reconciled back to God. But you got to repent. You got to turn. You got to turn your life and go a different direction and embrace the Lord. Anybody hear that from you today, this week? Then you're being discipled. Because the word of God, God disciples his own. And that's what the Apostle Paul is so much into. We've been given the foundation to evangelism. We've been given the foundation to being discipled. This is so important for us to recognize and see. This is why we're here. This is God speaking to our hearts and minds, to this body of Christ through his word. That really is the point of God's word being taught. For me, preaching any time I ever am or any other kind of teaching is to be discipled. To be discipled, to grow and mature and to respond and repent in God's sanctifying work. Now, that's where Paul specifically moves to in verses 7 through 12 in our text. In the Apostle Paul's defense of this ministry, he also gives us the foundation to discipleship. Now, what's discipleship? What is discipleship? Oh, me and Jeff and our buddy, we go and we have lunch and we talk about the Cardinals are going to beat the Rams today. And there are no Ram fans in here, are there? Half of you don't. Oh, that's Monday. That's right. I got the wrong day. Thank you, Craig. No wonder nobody responded to that. I don't know if anybody likes Dallas, do they? I don't even want to pick on that one. Yeah, there we go. But this is so important, you guys. This is what the Apostle Paul's teaching us in discipleship, is Christians helping each other in the sanctification of the Lord, in the growth of becoming more and more Christ-like, to help each other through life's challenges on how to live for the Lord. Look at the front of your bulletin. Look at this with me. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to this church that we're studying. In front of your bulletin, he says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us instructions on how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you actually do, that you excel still more." Hey, so here it is. They came there, shared the gospel, and then he discipled them, and he instructed them on how we ought to walk, and they are walking with the Lord, and then he got to still excel still more in walking with the Lord. That's discipleship. It's going on all the time. And I want you to see this clearly. I want you to maybe write something down here. There's two important principles of discipleship that you just got to recognize in what God is saying in his word and in our response to it. Two important principles. First, that you seek after it. You seek after growing in the Lord. There's a thing in our heart that says, "I want to be discipled. I want God to help me through his word. I want God to change my life. I want him to grow. I want to be discipled. Somebody, you can bring him in my life, Lord. You know, they would help me along on how I'm going to live for the Lord. It's through the Bible studies, all this kind of stuff. That's the first principle you need to grab hold on to, is you need to seek after it. The second is you need to receive instruction from God's word, God's truth, on how to walk with the Lord. To receive is to apply to your life. Those two principles are key to the growth, to any growth, to disciple or to being discipled. It's all over the place in Scripture. It's all over in Scripture. But I want to give you just one area so you kind of just see this. You know, keep your finger here. We're going to come back here. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. And we'll begin in verse 1. You got to fix your outlines there under introduction. The first verse in there says Ephesians 4:11. It's supposed to be 1. That's my fault. I messed that up. But turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians 4. And I want this to really be clear to you what discipleship is and how we're to be involved in discipleship. So I'm just going to point to one area. Are you there with me? To Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul has just taught on three chapters of doctrine, and now he's moving to practice. Look at verse 1. He says this: "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you." That's Christians, okay? Body of Christ. Implore. Goose. I always like that. I wrote that in my Bible. It says goose right here. That gets me. Implore them. Implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. Three chapters on the doctrine of God's teaching about your calling. Incredible chapters on your calling. God's calling of God of you. God's calling. Learn those. Look at that. Take the instruction. Here I am. I'm seeking to be discipled. I go through three doctrines, Paul does, of your calling. All God's truth. The doctrines are the truth of God, the whole truth of God, considering something here about your calling. And Paul is exhorting us that if you receive God's truth about your calling, act upon its instruction, walk in a manner worthy of it. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. That's what goes on. God's truth working in your life, discipling you. People bring it to you. Pastor preaches it to you. Discipleship. I want you to look at verse 11 through 16 here, just kind of catching on how Paul teaches this. Verse 11, the Lord Jesus gave to the church pastors, elders, teachers. Why? Verse 12. Look at verse 12. This is why: for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Did you hear what he said? If you receive the truth, learn the truth, understand the truth, teaching God's truth, discipling others, pastors, teachers are teaching you, equipping you, teaching what God says, teaching the word of God, for you to do the work of service, for you to be building up the body of Christ. That's called discipleship, folks. That's what's going on. That's what God is saying goes on in the church. This is his doctrine, his practice of what goes on in the body of Christ in the church. Look at verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Discipleship. That's what's going on in the body of Christ. And remember, the two keys to it: I got to seek it, I got to say I want it, and then I got to receive God's truth, I got to apply it. And God will change my life. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is even Christ, right? We're supposed to mature, grow up In love, I need to tell you the truth. In love, you need to tell them the truth. In love, you need to tell them the truth. In love, you need to tell them the truth. So they grow up in all aspects into Christ. So what's the truth? The truth, God wants to work in your life. And he's going to identify the sin in your life and the wrong thinking in your life. You could even say with Pastor Brent, the strongholds in your life. By the truth, he's going to reveal them to you in your life. He's going to show you. He's not picking on you. He's not saying, oh, you're such a bad person that you have a bad attitude. No, the truth is God wants to work in your life. And I want to speak the truth to you about the way he wants to work in your life. And then he'll make you more Christ-like. And then you'll glorify God more. And then you'll be an honorable vessel for God, for him to use in the kingdom. Discipleship, okay? Look at verse 16. In whom? In Jesus Christ. From whom? Jesus Christ. The whole body being fitted and held together by whatever joint supplies according to the proper working. Each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. That happens through discipleship, through serving. And it's from the Lord Jesus. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. What does it mean you received Jesus Christ as Lord? Oh, I just accept in my mind that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and he's Lord. The receiving is katalabano in the Greek. It means to embrace, to grab hold of. It means that you had totally enveloped in that it came into your life that Christ is Lord. He's the authority of everything. He's the authority of life. As you receive the authority of life, so walk in that authority of your life. Walk like Christ. You get the point. I can go on and on and on and on. I can go on till tomorrow. I can have you turn from Scripture, and we have the lunch brought in. Let's get some pizzas, and we can just keep going through the Word of God. This doesn't stop, guys. This isn't unique. This is life in Christianity. It's life in a church. Here's the thing. We don't seek after it, and we don't apply the truth to our life. And it was talked about today, because what we're going to look at today is because the struggle is, I don't want to please God, I want to please me. There, that help you with who you are? That's who I am. That help you with who you are? You're sitting here today, you're going to listen to this. If it's not happening in your life, here's your struggle. You think today's about pleasing you. This is just bottom line. It's God's word. It's God's truth. Me too. Me too. I'm the same as you. We're all the same. And so when we preach God's word and exhortation, these kind of things, and it becomes a struggle, or it's always a struggle, right? I mean, but a thing where we're not going to apply it, we're not going to respond to God, here it is. It's about me, not about honoring the Lord. This is ongoing in the life of the Lord's church, discipleship. Back to 1 Thessalonians with me. And I'm going to finish up this series here next week, so I'm kind of just going to go to where I make it to today, and then we'll finish it up next week. But this is really rich, so let me dig into this discipleship that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12, because I want you to hear the transition that goes on, where Paul moves from evangelizing the people in Thessalonica to when he begins to disciple them. Happens in verse 7 through 12. And let me just give you a little heads up. There's a little bit of that going on all the time. That is to say, the foundation to evangelism flow into the foundations to discipleship also. And we'll look at that today. I'll show you. So here's our text for this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, the Apostle Paul writes to them and says, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity by a way of deceit. And just as we have been improved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattery of speech, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor do we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as the apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But let me contrast that. What happened is we proved to be gentle among you, as nursing mothers tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond of affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and our hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, it would be who believed. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So you saw that in there, and just recognize verse 7 and 12's transition. He's not talking about them believing the gospel. He's talking about them walking in the Lord. So all of these things are true. We were devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly, and we imparted our very own lives. We had this so fond affection for you. We proved to be gentle among you. All of that so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's about discipleship. And we're going to look at the foundations of it. This is really good. This is very helpful to our lives. And the foundation of discipleship include the first foundations from the front of your bulletin. Look at that with me. Those were the foundations to evangelism. And they apply to the foundation to discipleship, to helping each other grow in the Lord. They apply to any shepherd of the church. They apply to any pastor of the church, any teacher of the church, anybody doing any of the classes of the church. They apply to all of the body of Christ as we would disciple one another. And the number one first was confidence in God's power. Any discipleship going on, it's by God's power that growth and change and sanctification is happening, right? I don't have the power to change anybody. I can tell you God's word. I can share God's word. I can love you. I can do all the things that God would ask me to do. I don't have any power to change your life. You don't either. It's the power of God. He works through his word, right? For Philippians 1:6, it's God who began a good work in you, and he will complete it when he started. Right? I'm discipling the church right now. Do you know that I'm discipling the church right now by teaching God's word, calling for a response for you to apply it? If you seek after being discipled, if you seek after being taught and exhorted to respond, and you receive the instruction from God's word by believing it and acting upon it and applying to your life, let me tell you, I can guarantee you, you'll grow in the Lord by the power of God. Because that's how he works. That's how he works in Christianity. That's how he works in our lives. That's how he sanctifies us. That's how it is. But I can tell you right now, if you don't listen to God's word, if you don't accept God's word, if you don't believe God's word, if you're not going to receive God's word, and in your heart you're saying, I'm just good where I am right now, God's power is not going to change your life at all. God the Father that loves us like our own kids, Christ, who our life is hidden within Christ, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, are waiting for us, and actually in a way will discipline us to bring us to the place where we want to seek it and receive it. This is just the truth of God's word, you guys. So discipleship is either joining in on God's work in others' lives or receiving God's work in your life through others. You capturing what we're teaching here? Second one, it flows right to it, a commitment to God's truth. To disciple anyone, you instruct, teach God's truth. To grow as a disciple, you apply God's truth. God's truth is the conduit of discipleship. Let me just say this, just write it down or put it in your heart. It doesn't happen with anything else but the truth of God's word. It doesn't happen with anything else but the truth of God's word. We can be friends, we can go fishing, we can talk about life, we can be buddies. I can love you and care for you, but transformation, discipleship, us becoming more and more like Christ doesn't happen unless we get into the word of truth. It doesn't come from man's opinions, man's philosophies, human wisdom. It doesn't come from any of that. It doesn't come from people sincerely thinking this is what God says when it's not what God says. It comes from the truth and truth alone. That's the word of God that God uses to transform lives. He did it through the gospel to you. He does it through the discipleship in our lives. There's no argument there. There's no place to argue there. Number three, you have been commissioned by God's will. Get this. You have been commissioned by God's will to help others grow in the Lord and to grow in the Lord yourself. Did you know that? In your salvation, every believer is called by God to do so. Some more, some less, predicated on maturity and, you know, those kind of things. But nobody, listen to this, nobody in the room that's saved can say that they are honoring Christ if they are not in some way helping others grow in the Lord or and growing themselves. You are not honoring Christ if you are not helping somebody in their life grow in the Lord and you are not growing yourself. It's not honoring Christ. I'm pretty straight up here, cutting it right down the road. leaving no room for like, well, you know, but, you know, I got life. I got, you know. That's the truth. Again, we're being discipled today. Number four, you're consumed with pleasing God. I've already spoken on that. To help others grow in the Lord and for you to mature in the Lord, you're consumed with pleasing God. If you're not growing in the Lord or helping others grow in the Lord, let me tell you your struggle, pleasing self. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. This is just the truth in discipling one another. This is what you run into in the body of Christ. This is us. This is what God's wanted us to deal with in our heart. Finally, number five, you're consecrated to God's glory. You're set apart to help others see the value, the character, the nature, the glory of the Lord, and you're to be doing the same for yourself. You're set apart to see his value and help others see it. You're not set apart so people see your value. That's good to be grateful. So thankful for the body of Christ. So thankful for people that teach. So thankful that people encourage. We wanted to encourage each other in that. Wouldn't be thankful. But you know what? None of us really want you to see our value. We want you to see God's value. I wouldn't do any of this. I wouldn't know the God's truth. I wouldn't care about you one iota. I wouldn't do the things that God calls me to do. I wouldn't lay my life down in ways apart from Christ's resurrection work in my life and heart continually all the time. Neither would you. Because that's who we are. Amen? Okay, we're giving all God all the glory, right? I am this way because God's at work in my life. All I did was say, okay, here I am. I'll work on surrendering it. Right? There's no big me's, no little you's, just people that surrender to God and God works in our life. Amen? Right? And so, yes, I'm thankful for all those that serve and do all those kind of things, a gratitude, a grateful heart, but we're not wanting people to see us. We want them to see the Lord. Amen? Now, let's dig into a little deeper here. From the back of your outline, turn that over. We move into a more detailed look at the foundational things in discipleship. When do you disciple others? From verse 7 through 9, look at your outline there. A foundation to disciple is caring for the spiritual needs like a mother. This is incredible what Paul does here. And I want you to get this in your heart. We'll dig into this more next week, but like a mother. And then from verse 10 through 12, we care for the spiritual needs like a father. Let me tell you this. It's not about that mothers only do this and fathers only do that. Okay, that's not what it's about. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a metaphor that Paul uses so we can see the detail of what it looks like on how we disciple each other. Everybody disciples this way. As God determines in the place that how we're discipling. You with me there? Because I don't want you to get lost here. He's just using these metaphors so we understand the details of discipleship. In the creation of God, you disciple like mothers who tenderly nurture their children. In the creation of God, you disciple like fathers that are promoting godly conduct in a courageous way. It's just about discipleship. The illustration of mom and dad there and how they are with their children is so we get it. You're discipling each other like that. You get the point with me, metaphors? We're going to dig in here. I'm going to go right in here. You ready? Okay, here we go. From verse 7 through 9, caring for spiritual needs like a mother is foundational to discipleship. Look at it again. But we proved to be gentle among you as nursing mothers tenderly cares for her children, having so fond an affection for you, like a mother. So you could put that right there. And like a mom, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Very dear to us in the text is you have become beloved brethren. That's what you call Christians. He's talking about when they were believers in Christ. Right there's the thing. You have become beloved brothers and sisters to us. You're the body of Christ. Right? And we're going to love you like, here's an illustration. Disciple you like a mom caring for a little child. Like a mom, for you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Now, verse 7 through 9, here's an incredible thing. God's identifying how moms are with their children. And then saying, hey, we're going to disciple each other how moms are like with their children. Isn't that incredible? Look at this with me. Look what he's saying. Discipleship is like this at times. You heard that they're tenderly nurturing, going on, going on. Like a mother with her small child, there's gentleness and kindness to the disciple, real affection for them, sacrificial love like a mom for a child, and an unselfish labor like a mom who gives of herself for the well-being of her child. That's what Paul is describing as he discipled like. I heard a story that really is a great illustration of this. Let me share you this story. Isla Clark, you guys know Isla. Randy and Rachel's little baby girl. She's been at Valley Children's Hospital for about a month. She's there right now. She's been through so much. This last month, we've been watching and praying, and God's grace is remarkable, isn't it? Just a short while ago, maybe a week ago, Isla was in pain. She was grumpy with the nurse. We all say, so what, man? You know what she's been through? Rachel says to Isla, sweetie, I know you're in pain, but that doesn't give us permission to be grumpy. That's all she said, and Isla received it. That's discipleship like a mom. You can use the word soothing there. Soothing discipleship. Don't need it all the time, but sometimes it's discipled that way. You know what? I wrote this down. How would a disciple like a father look like in that situation? Well, you know, I love what God's word says, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling. Let's be courageous and seek to obey God. Okay? We can't be grumpy because it doesn't honor God. That's needed in discipleship, but not in Isla's case, would you think? You think that's what Isla needed to hear? Come on, Isla, be courageous. That's a dad, right? Sweetie, God hasn't given us permission. God wants us to be that way with each other. In fact, he calls us to be that way with each other. You're going to have to know each other to be that way, huh? And whether you're mom or dad or male or female, you can disciple in this way, tenderly nurturing, right? And that really illustration comes to our first point in our text. Look at it with me. About for caring for spiritual needs, it's gentleness. Look at verse 7. But we proved to be gentle among you. He's referring to those who believe the gospel. We proved is to, we had become to being gentle among you, because that's, it's not like you're not gentle and kind with, you know, sharing the gospel with the, but there's a transition here that what happened is you guys saw, we proved to be gentle among you. He's referring to believers of the gospel. We came to be gentle among you. The Greek word is epios, for what's translated gentle there. It's a very unique term. There are many Greek words translated gentleness that he could have used, five or six other ones. This one's very unique. This one means gentle and kind with the root form including soothing. In 2 Timothy 2:24, the Apostle Paul uses the word and says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but, contrast, be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Kind, gentle, soothing to all is contrasted with quarrelsome. It's not about argumentative here. It's not about being right. It's not about them seeing what's right. It's not about, in their heart and mind, there's an argument going on sometimes when we disciple each other, that they're fighting in their own flesh, they're fighting in their own mind. They're fighting the things that are going on in their heart. There's a quarrel there, and God says, we're not quarrelsome at times. We disciple like a mom does her child. And soothing and gentleness. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about, and this is what he says in 2 Timothy 2:24. Here, we're going to be kind and gentle to all so we can teach patience. We're capturing the idea here. Here's a good picture in Isaiah 40:11. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, Isaiah speaking of the Lord. In his arms, he'll gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. And here's the picture. He will gently lead their nursing ewes. Discipleship is that at times. It's gently discipling, leading to growth. Look at verse 7 again. Look what he said. But we prove to be gentle among you as nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Tenderly here in the Greek includes nourishing and cherishing tenderly your own little one. Come on, moms, give me testimony. Sometimes in your relationship with your kids, You're just proving to be gentle and soothing and kind, nourishing and cherishing that little one that's under two. Because God's call in your life and your care for them and your love for them and what they need, right? God says we disciple each other that way. That means we got to know each other's life. And back to the two points, if you're going to seek after it and receive, you know what? There's got to be an opening up of your life. You got to be honest. You got to be real. You got to be true. No, I'm having a hard time with that. I'm not honored, Lord. I got this in my heart. See, but that's Christianity. That's God. That's what God's called us to do. This isn't about what we look like. If we put up on the screen what we really look like in our heart and mind as we go through the week, it shouldn't surprise us what's there. We just don't want anybody to know it's there. Give me an amen on that one, right? I'm not scapegoating that we should have things that are there. I don't want any of them there. But God wants to work in our lives, discipling us, each other, with each other. You are to nourish and cherish those you disciple in gentleness at times. The Apostle Paul did, elders do, we do also. Next point, look at your text. Next, with real affection, look at it, verse 8 with me. You got to fix another verse there. 2 Corinthians 9:1 is 9:14. You understand I tried really hard. I even reviewed them. Real affection, though, right? He says having so fond affection, that's what he says. The word for fond affection is used only here in the New Testament. It means to long for someone passionately and earnestly. And being linked to a mother's affection for her child, it's a real affection, isn't it? Moms, right? It's a real affection that you long passionately and earnestly for your children. God has naturally designed a real affection in a mother's heart for her child. We all know that to be true. Guess what? In our salvation, by the power of God, in our new life in Christ, we have been given a real love and affection for each other, haven't we? Haven't we? Absolutely we have. It's evidence that you're saved and have the new life in Christ. It's all over the place. Chapter 3, verse 6, Paul wrote, you know, to the Thessalonians, he wrote this, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news and your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. We long for each other, don't we? We closed church for 6 weeks. We were longing to meet with each other. It was evident. It was apparent. It's Christianity. It's what God gives you in your life. It's what's happening in your life. You know, you get worried as a pastor that people don't long to be with the body of Christ. Either there's not a real salvation or there's sin in the way. Because God in their salvation gave them in their heart a longing to be with the body of Christ. You can't say it's not there because the Word of God says it's there. 1 Peter 1:22, right? 1 Peter 1:22. Let me say this first. For Philippians 1:8, Paul says to the Christians, God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ. We long with the affection of Christ for each other, of the affection that Christ has for us. It's God-given. 1 Peter 1:22, it says, in your obedience to the truth, meaning in your repentance and faith in Christ, God purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren. That's a love with affection. God did it. It's not about what we conjure up. God did it. He gave us a sincere love for the brethren, for the body of Christ, an affection that's similar to a mom for her baby. That's what they're talking about. That's what Paul is saying we did. So Peter said, so fervently love one another from the heart, meaning exercise that love to its limits from your new life in Christ. Do it from the heart. Now let me ask somebody here today, man, I don't really feel affection for anybody. I don't really have an affection for anybody. I'm going to give you a little encouragement here. Reach out in discipleship. Allow someone in your life to help you with a walk with the Lord, and you get involved with helping someone else in their walk with the Lord. I guarantee you the affection for others will rise right up to the top. It'll rise right up. Because you'll see the love that God has given people in Christ for you. And God will reveal to you the love that you have for others. Paul had this affection, elders do. One more point that flows right into the next foundational thing, caring for the spiritual needs like a mother, sacrificial love. Look at verse 8 again. Having so fond an affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives. because you had become very dear to us. This is really amazing. Now remember, this is Paul as he discipled this church and his companions. Like I told you, very dear, beloved to us. They become brothers and sisters. This amazing verse, to impart means to share with someone by contributing to the needs. Paul is saying that they were, himself and his companions, they were well pleased, they took pleasure in, to share their own lives, to sacrifice with their lives, to contribute to their needs. The picture used here is like a mom to her young child. Well, gosh, moms, you ought to just go, yeah, wow. Now I kind of really understand discipleship. I'm living this with my little ones. You got sacrificial love for your little ones? Are you willing to sacrifice? Sacrificial love? Are you well pleased to just give your life because that little one just cries and is awake and you walk the floor and you're just trying to get fed and changed and trying to find out why its tummy hurts? And you just walk the floor. How many people have walked the floor for at least 5 hours in their life with a little one? Raise your hand. My middle child had colic from month one all the way to month six, and I walked the floor at least 2 hours every night for 5 months. I wanted to wring her neck. God works in our lives in those things. He certainly does. You see what I'm talking about here? See what Paul is talking about here? Man, this is real. This isn't like, hey, here's a duty thing here. Here's some things. This is Christianity. Like a mom who shares her life in sacrifice to meet the little one's needs, and they're well pleased to do so because of love, sacrificial love. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I most gladly will be spent and be expended for your souls. He told the Philippians, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you. In the case, if you're thinking that this is, well, yeah, that's apostles. They got some things in here for pastors to do, but that's not us. I want you to hear the word of God from the apostle John in 1 John 3:16. He says it really simple. We know love by this. Here's how we know love. God's love, your love, the love of God. This is how we know it, that he laid down his life for us, sacrificial love. That's how we know love. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. You know the love of God? The sacrificial love of Christ, do you know it? Did you receive it? Did you believe it? Did it come into your life? God gave you a love that's just like that, and it ought to there. It's more like we're obligated to lay down our lives for others, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our time is gone. We're going to end there. We'll pick it up, but I want to encourage you in just a couple things. This is a big part of the life of the Lord's church. If you're going to be here, we're going to expect you to be part of that big part. You're going to be discipled to be part of that big part of discipling. If you're here, that's how we're going to be. Because it's what God calls us to do. That's what we're going to be. It's always going on. It's part of the work of service that builds up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. And as much as God has entrusted us with the sharing of the true gospel, collectively he has entrusted us with discipling each other in our walk with the Lord. And we are going to handle what God has entrusted us with. We're going to be involved in each other's lives. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to judge each other. We're not going to say, oh, we're going to just say, look, at the Lord's at work. We're going to point everybody to the value of God and how he changes lives. Now, we'll stumble in that. We won't be perfect. But you know why this church is identified as a loving church? Because it's been discipled by the truth of God's word, yes, from the pulpit, but from each other. And by God's power and Christ's involvement, he is growing us all up in love, Ephesians 4:16. We should recognize and acknowledge all this in our heart and mind. We're to be helping each other walk with the Lord. Yes, we're to evangelize. We need to respond to that. We got a discipleship because that's what God has for us. That's what the Men of Faith group is all about. They're all about encouraging men to desire to seek after growing in the Lord and then receiving instruction from God's word on how to walk with the Lord from each other. Discipleship. That's what it's about. Did you know that spiritual mothering groups are about that? Did you know the shepherding groups are about that? Did you know all the Bible studies going on, the men's, the women's, children ed on Sunday, the adult classes on Wednesday and Sunday morning, the Awana Club, and the youth studies? They're all about the instruction from God's word on what to believe about God, about ourselves, and God's way for us to embrace and to be applied. The preaching of God's word is about that. You've missed the point of God's word being preached each and every Sunday if you're not spurred on to action of repentance and action and belief in your life. Because you missed the point of God's word is to disciple us. You missed the whole point. You missed the whole point of God's exhortation to pastors to preach the word in season and out of season. You missed the whole point. If it isn't about receiving and believing what God says about you, about him, applying it to our lives, letting it have its work in our life and helping each other, it work in their lives. This is us. This is us. We're going to encourage you in it, come alongside in it. We're going to disciple you in it. We're all different places, but this is us. And sometimes in our discipleship, there's an opportunity to care for someone else, spiritual need, in gentleness, in real affection, and out of sacrificial love. Like a mom for a little one. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful word of encouragement to us today. Pretty cut and dry. You know, the Apostle Paul was defending his ministry here. People were attacking him and saying, you know, he had wrong motives in sharing Christ and wrong motives of loving people and coming alongside them. We don't want any wrong motives. Deal with our motives, Lord. Deal with the very depth of who we are, why we do what we do, and make it for your glory. Make it for pleasing you. That work needs to happen in my life today. I confess it, Lord, and want to repent where it's not. Us too, Lord. I know our hearts, us too. Thank you that we are your church. Thank you that we can be a light on the hill. We can be salt and light in this world. My heart is this world desperately needs someone to come along with real affection and a sacrificial love and say there's an answer to this mess. There's an answer to the chaos. There's an answer to the confusion, to the broken heart, to the depravity. And it's our Lord. And only our Lord. And he so sacrificially loved us that he gave his life. And he asked us to give our lives to him in belief. Lord, that's our prayer. In Christ's name.